Your legs are so shiny. Hi, everybody. I'm Jim.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Theo.
And this is the Concept Crucible Podcast.
And we are still in Scotland!
This is our last night in Scotland.
Yep.
And so we thought it would be prudent to record a Scotland Reflections podcast, which is, by the way, the title of this podcast, which you already know.
Yeah, we are a little over 23 hours away from taking off, so we thought this would be a... Yeah, it's... Well, sorry, not 23. 11 hours. Why? Oh, I'm so tired. Why did I say 24?
I was waiting to say, what is
that? Anyways, 11.
What are you on?
12 hours subtracted back. Anyways, so we're 11 or so hours away from taking off, so we thought this would be a great opportunity to take a look at the entire two-week trip and try to condense our thoughts down into some meaningful highlights, or the best of reel.
And as always in Scotland, we are joined by our native guide, Theo.
Hello.
So, icebreaker, what is the thing that you didn't expect to encounter, is the thing or situation or object or person that you didn't expect to encounter in Scotland that you did? Ryan.
I was pre-warned or forewarned that this might happen, but I still didn't really expect to
drink as much as you did.
Oh, actually, I expected to drink more. I'm surprised that I didn't. No, I was warned about... I didn't really have a context for Bob, but I was given a fair bit of warning about playing music and whatnot. And I thought, okay, I'll just be able to hide in a corner and not worry about it. But Bob is very persuasive. Bob is very encouraging, and I did not expect to play live music. Now, it's live music in the sense that it was a backyard jam, but it was not just a couple of us sitting around in a circle. Like, there was, what, 15 people in the circle? And so it was essentially a live performance. And I wasn't soloing. I mean, I did sing in front of people, but I wasn't soloing. And yet, nevertheless, I did not expect to play live music. I thought that was going to be the exclusive domain of Jim.
You jammed like a champ, though.
I tried.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mine, I was not mentally prepared for how small Scotland is. Like, today we went for a short drive.
Yeah.
We were gone for, what, a couple hours?
A couple hours.
We went to four small towns, including one to get lunch, one to see some things, one to visit that antique store that Bob runs, different Bob. And in Canada, you can't do that. If you want to go to four small towns in Canada, unless you're right next to a city, odds are good that you're gone for the whole day. You know, it's an hour between towns. At least towns of any size where they have something cool, like a bookstore. And I have understood for this entire trip that Scotland is small, but I also don't drive, so like I wasn't expecting Scotland to essentially be basically the size of my hometown, like as a country. Or it's just like, yeah, we'll just drive there. It'll take, like, 20 minutes. I'm like, well, we're going to a whole other town to get lunch. Yeah, 20 minutes. Sure. And it's not, like, 20 minutes through a city or anything like that. There's rolling countryside and farmer's fields and the whole nine. And then you're in another town. Some small regional thing where all the houses are made of stone and it's very quaint.
We found thatched roofs today as well.
That's... Oh my god. Please, as a country, understand that thatched roofs are a bad idea.
To be fair, most of the houses in there...
This is not the 17th century.
That house was from the 17th century.
I'm aware. We've moved on.
No, that house was 15th century.
Yeah.
15th
century,
I think was written on the lintel.
Yeah, so. You're right, 15th century.
1610 is the 17th century.
It is, yeah. I was right. I'm so
this
confused right now.
This is the 21st century.
Wait, what did you say originally?
17th.
Oh, oops.
Wait, I was right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you were right.
You're the native guide. You were right.
Doesn't mean I'm right.
All
right,
that's two strikes for Huck. Failing at math.
Your quote is on a shiggly peg right now.
Yeah.
Phrases that I learned. Shiggly peg.
Ears. Or the donkey ears one.
So, what's your favorite thing about Scotland? or favorite thing that you visited. What is something you learned while you were here, and what is the reflection that you would have if we started this trip over, which we are not doing. We're flying out. We're going home.
I'm glad, because I'm getting up at 3 a.m. to get to the airport.
Yes. What would you do differently? Those are our sort of three questions for today. So favorite thing. Huck, go.
Did we want to do like all three in a row or just
no,
like each
favorite
topic?
Thing.
All right, favorite thing. I don't have a cute headline for this or a title for this section. It's just all of the interesting things that I learned, or the fact that there were so many interesting things to learn. When I was uploading photos, I found it really fun and sometimes challenging to remember all of the things that would be associated with that picture. So like Bobby, the little dog from Edinburgh. There's now that I think about it, there's a lot of Bobs and Bobbies in Scotland.
There's whole books written about Greyfriars Bobby. Like, you have your book on it.
But the stuff that Bob from the antique shop was telling me, the stuff that Bob, the musician, was telling me.
Spoilers, like, there's a lot of Roberts in this in this country.
Yeah.
You know, Robert's a big deal in Scotland.
Yeah. The things Colin was telling me about, you know, the various places around town and outside of town.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to distill it down to a favorite thing. Like, there's no one piece of trivia that
I learned.
And yet
you're going to. What is it?
Oh, God.
You're so mean.
All right, since we're recording, let me pass and we'll come back to me and I'll come up with a favorite.
My favorite thing, I had lots of good times. I played lots of music. I hung out with cool people. I met a bunch of neat people. I ran a D&D game. My favorite thing was the Wallace Monument.
Of course it was.
There is the obvious Scotland trolling reasons for that. Links to the Scotland trolling video down below. You did see you may have seen our video that we did at the top of the Wallace Monument as well.
I'm kind
of
glad I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad you weren't there for that too.
Because I may have punched you?
Yeah, probably. But the Wallace Monument is, as it sounds, it is a monument dedicated to William Wallace and his sort of life and works. And I have been making shit up about William Wallace for like a year, about how Braveheart is the canonical history of Scotland, and oh my God, it's been so wonderful.
For you.
And you walk up the Wallace Monument, you walk up all these steps, 200 and something.
46.
Yeah, that number. And you find out not just the history of William Wallace, but you find out the history of the monument itself. The monument was only built in the 19th century. It was proposed and completed entirely in the 19th century. It was finished in, like, 1869.
Yeah.
And, it's not even that old. It William Wallace himself had nothing to do with the Wallace Monument. Not a bit. It's sort of this created thing in part to commemorate a piece of Scottish history, but also in part to sort of, I think, mold New Scotland in the sense of being full of tourist attractions. And like even from the beginning, you can see in the Wallace Monument, like,
yeah.
Promotional flyers and stuff from the 19th century.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it in my head, marks this shift of not just celebrating Scottish history, but also using the celebration of Scottish history as a way to, like, drive their economy, which seems really interesting in a lot of different ways. There's also on the, I think it's the second floor of the monument, you can see this, they have all these busts of every famous Scot who's ever lived.
Every
so
famous Scot.
Not
Sir
every.
Walter
David,
Scott.
David Hume wasn't there. It's
David Livingstone, Adam Smith. And I was really intrigued to note that even to this day, because they would presumably still be adding heads, because some of them were added in the, like, the 1940s.
They haven't added any in the last 10 years I know of.
Yeah, but to this day, there have never been any famous Scottish women.
Or people of color.
No. Women in Scotland have accomplished nothing at all, apparently.
Sure.
I mean, well, if you believe the Wallace Monument,
yeah.
Which I do not. But it is... In that sense, it is a memorial to a particular kind of Scotland. And I think that that is a Scotland that I have seen romanticized and sort of embodied in all kinds of sort of rural Scottish history things and stuff like that. I mean, we have seen a lot of fucking bronze statues. Huck has so many pictures of bronze statues.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen a bronze statue of a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Like, forget a person of color. Like, let us imagine that that leap is too great.
Yeah.
I have not seen a bronze statue of a lady.
That one does annoy me as well. In fact, there's a statue of a dog.
There is a statue of a dog.
But there's several statues of dogs, and there's not one of a woman.
Yes. That is a thing that I find disquieting, but I find it embodied in the ever-romanticized Wallace Monument, where you can buy commemorative William Wallace teddy bears and commemorative William Wallace shortbread and commemorative William Wallace Scotland toques.
It's one of those things as well, though, in that sort of era of history, women will ever mention is if they helped out the guys. Like, the Jacobite Rebellion, 1745, Bonnie Prince Charlie had to escape after Culloden.
Mm-hmm.
He escaped to Skye. It was her maid, Flora MacDonald, was the woman who helped him escape and helped him escape to France from there. She's remembered in the Skye Boat Song, but only because she helped him.
Hmm.
So, it's in context of around this guy she is remembered.
So what you're saying is there aren't a lot of Scottish ballads that pass the Bechdel test.
No.
Still, the Wallace Monument remains my sort of favorite thing. I stood at the summit and I made up bullshit about William Wallace in his very monument and realized that I had ascended to my true power.
What, maximum troll?
Yes. I underwent the quickening. Ryan, favorite thing?
I guess we'll come back to the comment you made in the pre-show. I guess it really does come down to Antique Bob. Only insofar as...
I don't know that he would appreciate the name Antique Bob. He is quite old.
He's quite old. But I need to separate him out from Music Bob.
Fair.
I think the fact that you're even talking about something like this, he'd probably be over the moon.
Ah,
he was super stoked to see you again today.
Yeah, I think it's... on one level, I thought it might be a little rude to go back just for the sake of getting a picture. And that's why I made a point of purchasing something from his shop to at least, kick him some money in that regard. Not that he needs money, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to just be that tourist that takes a picture and leaves and then, people come in and look around at his shop all the time and who knows what his turnover, like his conversion rate is in terms of people walking in versus customers.
So let us place this in context. In Falkland, there is an antique shop run by a man named Bob.
Yep.
He sells antiques, old things.
And primarily violins.
And old violins.
Like old
super
violins.
Old violins. All
I did not buy one.
He mentioned yesterday that he has a real problem with keeping bows. Like, people will come in to buy bows from him all the time. Bows are less common to get than the violins are, so he needs to hold on to all of them that he can get. But he's like doing a lot of cool stuff, Roseanne Cash and Johnny Cash and whatnot. They found out that Johnny's family is from the region, so Roseanne Cash pops in, two times a year. He's got pictures of meeting her. She signed a guitar that he has there. He played a little bit of guitar for us.
He is an amazing guitarist.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, I broke my finger doing the mountain climb or the mountain run thing.
Run, yeah.
Yeah, that I ran 21 times. And they give you a plaque if you do it 21 times. It's like, oh, okay. And he's like, he plays like, yeah, sometimes I have a hard time reaching the thing. And meanwhile, he's like,
he's playing incredible flamenco guitar.
Yeah, and then
it
was just like, yeah, it's just a hobby thing. I'm not very good at it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Okay,
so,
dude.
And then he was, he was a constable for a while, and he was a part of, like, the murder society in Falkland, so he's got a...
Excuse me?
Yeah, that was something you missed two days ago.
I missed that.
Yeah, it was, like, something like the murder society, or there might be a slightly different name, but it was essentially, like, a society devoted to, I guess, like, documenting famous criminal cases or something.
Oh, okay, that seems a little more...
They don't actually go around murdering people.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Scotland's a peculiar place.
Yeah, so I don't know, I guess this might be a little morbid, but because of the kind of character he was, how excited Music Bob was for me to meet Antique Bob, or Violin Bob, we'll call him Violin Bob.
That seems better, yes.
And then the fact that I might not come back in the near future, it might take me a while before I can have the funds to return, but it feels like some, one of those things that if I come back, I might find out that, you know, like, Bob is not running his shop anymore. Bob is dead, you know, kind of deal. And I would feel kind of bad if I didn't have something to remember, like, his character by. And so I was super excited to be able to go back. And it was just going to be one of those things of, like I'm going to buy a book and, like, oh, can I take your picture? But he was chatting us up. He played some guitar, and I filmed a video of him playing guitar. And, you know, he seemed really interested in talking about when we're flying out. And, you know,
he's a very personable guy.
Yeah, he's a very personable guy. And then he still was a good chum and went outside and struck a pose out in front of his window for me. So I was pretty excited about that.
So what did you learn in Scotland? You've been here for 2 weeks. What is the thing that you learned that you will take home with you?
I guess it's again, something Colin said, that when you live in an area for so long, you sometimes take for granted the things around, and you don't really look at it in a, like, you, when you look at it as a person who lives there as opposed to a tourist. But I realized that I don't really know a lot about the region of Waterloo. Its history, its interesting things. Like, I in the pre-show, I made the comment that people ask me what's there to do in town, and I honestly don't know. Like, I know there's places to go, but I've never been there. Like, Alora Gorge, the Schneider House. I know these places exist.
You didn't go to Joseph Schneider House?
No.
Oh, you didn't grow up here, that's why.
Yeah, so, like, I know these places exist, but I very rarely have ever gone to them. So as attractions, I know they exist. I can point you towards them, but I don't know the history of Waterloo. Whereas here, and it could be just a function of living here all your life and it being a smaller community, but and also a concerted effort by the government to preserve things and tell a certain story. But it just seems like the information that everybody has here about their home makes mine pale in comparison. Like, it's just, I know very little. So that's something that I'm taking away from here with me, is that I need to appreciate where I live a little bit more and learn a little bit more about stuff that doesn't pertain to the immediate current events.
So the thing that I learned is, and I did a video about this on my other channel, is that sort of the act of touring Europe, like coming from the Americas to tour Europe, is sort of rooted in this weird thread of white supremacy. Like, we come here and we look at all these things and we marvel at how old they are, without sort of critically reflecting on the fact that there are things at home that are just as old, only they were destroyed. Like, the culture that created them has been ravaged and destroyed by colonialism. And I remember sort of wandering about and seeing some markers and being like, there is stuff in Canada that is this old. There are cultures that go back vastly farther than what we would refer to as, like, Scottish civilization, which, you know, charitably is 1,000 years old, at least.
Yeah, it was all Celts and Picts before that.
Yeah. But it is, and it is not just sort of gone in the sense of being wiped out or continuing to be wiped out by colonialism, but it is also irrelevant. Like, it is treated as irrelevant. History in Canada in school starts with Champlain and Frontenac, and that is where it begins. There was nothing before that. And it is curious and sort of concerning to me that that is how we approach it. But we had to come to Europe to see it and marvel at the age of the stones and the cathedrals. So it is not so much, I think, that I feel a deep-seated need to learn more about First Nations history. I do know a bunch about First Nations history in our region. But it's that I want to place sort of additional, you know, European history and things like that in that wider cultural context, because it matters. It hit me. We were at the Edinburgh Palace, or the castle, and they had a statue commemorating Scottish lives lost during the Boer War.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
no, Stirling Castle.
Was that Stirling?
That was Stirling Castle. Okay. Yeah,
it was in Edinburgh, and it was a castle.
It was Stirling Castle.
It was in Stirling. It was.
You came back to the car and told Coy and I about it
just after the Wallace Monument. We didn't. The outside of the Edinburgh Castle.
You're totally right.
The tattoo.
You're totally right.
There was. I don't even remember if there was any statues there, but yeah.
You're 100% right.
Regardless, it was a statue.
Also, I can't keep track of which castles I was in. But there's a statue there commemorating Scottish lives lost in the Boer War, and like, which is a really weird colonial context, because the Boer War is not one of those wars where you're like, two nations are fighting and they both want the same thing and they can't both have the same thing. No, one nation is fighting over a thing that what another nation, arguably a nation, has.
Mm-hmm.
It is a war of colonialism. And the notion that we would commemorate or celebrate that seems real weird, even though we do it all the time.
Yeah.
That sort of started that thread and got real bothersome with me. Is the thing I'm going to have to take home and do some more mulling over. Yeah!
The thing that super frustrates me as well, though, is just like, our history does go back sort of beyond like the first wars of independence and... Also, but because there's been white people here for so long, it seems like it's okay to teach that.
Well, I mean, it sort of is. Like, that is your history.
But our history was, like, we were the ones that people were trying to turn into a colony. Like, the Romans came and tried to...
Yeah.
They built a big wall because, like, you know, you guys just stay in there. Like, you're weird. Get back. You know, and then, like, I've had people tell me, like, oh, you know, 1707 was Union of the Crowns. England took over Scotland. We ruled you. It's like... wasn't how it was supposed to work. Like, what's going on here?
Other things that weird me out that I learned and weird me out about Scotland include the fact that it is weird to be in a country that does not have a history of being colonized.
Yeah,
being invaded is different.
Yeah, we drove off the invaders. We never got the Romans tried to colonize us, and we didn't let them.
It is weird.
And the best you can say is
in ways that are hard to describe.
The best you can say is James IV. Ascending to the throne of England to unify
James Scotland first of England.
I must be dyslexic because I thought that I read four, but no, anyway, it's either IV or VI. In this case, it's VI.
Yeah,
you can't do numbers tonight.
I am terrible.
Three strikes, he's out.
Three strikes.
So if you could do it all over again, what would you do differently?
So I loved how much we did. Like, it was basically a smorgasbord. Sampling of most of the like the highlights, the greatest hits of Scotland. What I would almost want to do next time when I come back is to take all the stuff that we did, kind of cut it in half, and then stretch that side out to the 2 weeks, like for example. Because there's so much, as Jim said, we drove through like four towns today. And each of the four towns, you could have spent a half day there minimum.
That's the ones we stopped in. We drove through more.
Exactly. Yeah. And those are the ones that we stopped in. You could have spent a half day in there just kind of walking around and seeing, again, what the local tourism board has set up to kind of highlight and showcase the various things around town. Edinburgh should be at least a day alone. Like when I found the plaques on Rose Street, talking about that, and then you were talking about Jekyll and Hyde. Like, that would have been interesting. Mm-hmm. Walking, you said there was another mile. So, like, there was the Royal Mile, but then there was an associated other mile, I think.
It was the Rose Street one.
Is that the Rose Street one? That's the mile?
That was a drinking one.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, like, there was so many other things to have seen. The trip to Skye, realistically, should have been 3 days. Like, one day of driving, one day of there, and one day back. And we tried to do it all in a single day.
Yeah.
So there's just so much to take in. So I would probably... in the future, or if I were to do it over again, would probably not even leave Fife. Or if I step out of Fife, you know, like go to Edinburgh. Is Dundee in Fife? No,
Dundee's Tayside. No.
Yeah, so I would probably go maybe to the adjacent.
Yeah, Dundee's like 20 minutes away. It's not like we're just a big stretch to get there.
So I would probably do something like that.
I think it's now that you've done the greatest hits too, you can sort of say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing to come away with. For me... I learned a whole bunch about being in car rides with people. I've never been on an intercontinental journey with another person before. I have my previous, like, long journeys I've typically taken by myself. And I'm very different when I'm by myself traveling. I have, like, a mandatory extrovert policy, and, you know, I have a bunch of, like, strict sort of rules and routines that I adhere to. I have, like, a space that I'll set up, like, in a hotel room, and, like, and all of that sort of gets disrupted when you're traveling with other people. And I find the need more consistently to, like, recharge my social batteries. So, I would sleep in the car more. I've spent the last, like, what, 4 days. Every time we're between towns, I just sort of doze in the car. And it just helps me relax, and it makes me feel like I don't have to be switched on all the time. Which, I know, like, academically, I don't be.
Yeah.
I don't have to be, but I feel like I should.
Mm.
And so it takes some of that pressure off me.
But I said to you, I do the same in the car. That's why I always have a playlist or an audiobook on in the car. So I can just switch off, concentrate on driving, and just...
Yeah. But I'm not even driving.
I don't feel like I'm waiting. Maybe I'll sit in silence because I'm being a weirdo.
Also, like, I did spend the first 4 or 5 days, like, admiring your picturesque Scottish landscapes. I get it. You have rolling hills and vistas and locks and shit.
Hills made of dirt.
Shit gets boring after a while, right? I can only look at the same hill of sheep or the giant concrete thing outside of Dundee.
That's my drive to work 4 days a week. How do you think I feel?
I haven't the slightest idea.
That's a nice, interesting contrast, because I'm the one with, like, 500 pictures uploaded so far. And, like, there's a lot of pictures of the same thing, just, like, different distances. I just couldn't bring myself to delete it.
I have a bunch of pictures of Hawk taking pictures of things. I have about 80 pictures, but they're all really weird.
Yeah.
You know, I understand it, though, because I don't notice it as much anymore because I live here. Like, that drive to work, I don't notice it half most days. Like, I'm here, and then I'm in Dundee, and I'm like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
Because I just kind of switch off to all constant driving. So I understand, yeah, okay, it gets a bit dull after a while, but... I'm sorry I live somewhere so pretty.
After a while, I got inured to it. So yeah. Scotland. We're going home.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny. When we first got here, I was... I think it was mostly, like, the jet lag and the fatigue. I was like, man, like... I just can't wait to go home and rest. But that once I slept, I was like, and I started to see things, it's like, man, like, this is really cool. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks flies by, and I'm like, ah, as much as I want to go home, I don't want to leave. I don't want it to end.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. This is your magical Narnia land.
Yeah.
You know you're always welcome back. We will let you through customs. You maybe not.
That seems fine.
You maybe put on a list.
It wouldn't be the first watch list that I'm on.
You're going to be treated as the equivalent of a ring wraith.
That seems fine. No man can beat me. So, final thoughts on Scotland?
Really glad that we did this on a whim, so to speak, even though it's been, you know, six or eight months in the planning. Yeah. But I'm really glad that we did it. I'm really happy with the entire trip. I mean, I didn't really have a lot of preset expectations, but I've enjoyed everything. And this time, like, this is in contrast to my trip to Kenya. I'm so glad that I was more diligent with documenting it. Like, every day had pictures being uploaded. Most days had emails going back home that kind of summarized it. And then I vlogged every night as well. So I can basically relive a lot of the trip. Like, there's a little details, but I'm so glad that I had documented it so thoroughly. So it's not something that's going to be like, oh, yeah, I went to this place once 10 years ago. So...
Fair. I really liked hanging out with a bunch of people here. I learned a bunch of things. Not just about colonialism, but also about, you know, playing music and old buildings and a bunch of things that are probably going to improve my D&D game.
I don't know where names come from.
I'm excited.
I got to hang out with a bunch of really cool people thanks to you and your friends.
My friends are pretty rad.
Yes. And I got to run a killer game of D&D in a pub.
That was so much fun.
Which is always a good time. So, yes, thank you very much, Theo, for guiding us and hosting us. And
always. I'm just very glad I got to hang out with you guys again. Because hanging out on the internet is very different than hanging out in person.
It's true.
And you're very patient to put up with me for 2 weeks, so good job, guys.
So, from Scotland, I'm Jim.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Theo.
And we're signing off.
Stay awesome.
Woo!
Do you know why that is?
Because you're covered in a slick oil like a salamander.
No.
You're secretly Ryan from the Mirror Universe.
No.
Have your shorts been rubbing on your legs?
No.